Hello, welcome to King's Church Bangor Sermon Podcast. We hope and pray that this message helps you in your journey with God and blesses you this week. If you want to find out more about King's Church, then head to our website, kingschurchbangor.org, or you can follow us on Instagram and Facebook for more updates.
Well, good morning, everybody. To those here in the hall, lovely to see everybody, and also those at home. And is it wonderful that God's Spirit is not inhibited by walls or even by distance, and that we're joining as one body and one spirit nevertheless? So we're continuing on this morning in the book of James. We've had two challenging weeks, and this one won't be any different in terms of the challenge. Before I get stuck in, Callum McKnight has very kindly agreed to read for us this morning. So he's going to read through chapter 3 for us, but the words will be on the screen for anyone that would like to follow it that way. So thank you, Callum.
James chapter 3. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and itself is set on fire by the hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Father, our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness.
Thank you very much, Callum. Thank you for being willing to serve us and for reading so well this morning. It was great. So we're going to jump right in here. James is writing to believers in the church who profess their love of Jesus, but they are not always showing love to each other. They are, in fact, damaging each other in how they speak. And if I was to summarize this talk and this chapter this morning, I would have read flashing lights and hooters saying, warning, warning, warning. The warning is about how we use our tongue. We all have one. And if you didn't have your masks on, I would ask you just to stick it out, just to prove that you do have one. The tongue is described as a restless evil, full of poison. What strong, strong words to emphasize how dangerous it can be. As we know, poisonous substances are labeled with warnings on the container. Being restless suggests something that's always ready to be on the move. And James very helpfully sets out three images, and hopefully we will get some of them on the screen here, to help us understand how something so seemingly small can have such a big impact. So with the image of a horse, I hope first of all, horses are large, powerful animals, and yet a rider can learn to make a horse obey them. I know Olivia, for one, is a rider. There may be others here who do the same. But if you've never ridden a horse, but you've maybe watched on television how a rider, an experienced rider, can keep a horse on track on the racetrack, or dressage, where the horse almost seems to dance and they can move forwards and backwards and side by side, all kept in control by this little bit of metal in the horse's mouth by the rider. So there's hope for us in that image, that we can have some control over our tongue and make it obey us. The second image is the rudder of a ship. I love this image of the size of the people and the size of the ship. And compared to the size of a ship, the rudder is a very small piece of equipment controlled by the captain. And yet the person in charge of the rudder can influence the direction of that huge, huge ship. And it can decide whether it is going to reach its planned destination safely, or if whether it is going to be wrecked on the rocks. So again, this gives us both an assurance that we can use our tongue to steer us in the right direction. But both of these images also remind us that the tongue needs and can needs to be controlled to keep us in the right direction. Otherwise, there is danger to us, and there is danger to others around us. And if the reader is in any doubt about the dangers of the tongue, the next image really is even more graphic to show how something small can cause large devastation. And it's the image of the fire. And I'm sure some of you recognize this. Anyone recognize where this is from? Yeah. The Mourns recently, where there was the Gorse fires. Now, from a distance, it actually looks quite attractive and quite exciting, almost seeing it from a distance. But what we don't see is the damage that that fire is causing to wildlife and to biodiversity in the area. And so I also wanted to show this image because this really then was, this was a deadly fire in California where a town was destroyed in less than a day. And it particularly, I felt, shows an image that the wrong use of our tongue, a small spark, can cause huge, huge damage. And it doesn't matter whether that spark was started with fires, were caused by carelessness, or whether it was intentional. And sometimes in church, it may be we think, well, we're not really malicious kind of people, but it can be the small spark, it can be the accidental, the thoughtless word, the word that is just actually careless, that is unintended, but the damage can still have the same effect. We live in a country where free speech is a privilege and we're thankful for it, but it's also a great responsibility to use that wisely. We live in a world at the moment where on one hand we're wearing masks and it's really hard to gauge people's reactions to what we say or actually sometimes even hear people speaking to us. And yet we also live in a world where there have never been so many ways to communicate electronically through our phones, our iPads, our computers. What wisdom we need to use these wisely and intentionally as adults, and to teach our young people and our children in how to use them wisely in how we speak to others. We are exposed every day to a constant stream of information that often feeds off and thrives on worldly priorities of gossip, selfish ambition, false news, boasting about what people have, how they look. In the main, very little of it reflects God's kingdom and his priorities of loving God and loving others. So it is wise to guard ourselves and what we expose ourselves to. God's word guides us very clearly on the use of the tongue. It has lots and lots to say about it to protect us and to protect others so that we can live a life that is worthy of our calling to be disciples of Jesus Christ, so that we can build each other up in the church and be an effective witness in the world. So here are a few of the things coming up on the screen that the Bible says about words. Many of these are from the book of Proverbs, and there's so many more I could have chosen. Here's a sample. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. A lying tongue hates those it hurts. A flattering mouth works ruin. An angry man stirs up dissension. A gossip betrays a confidence. When words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace. Speak evil of no one. Avoid quarrelling. Don't be vulgar. Crude talk is out of place. Don't brag about yourself. Reckless words pierce like a sword. Every careless word that people speak, they will give account for on the day of judgment. Quite sobering stuff. We all have different weaknesses and vulnerabilities. Some people are quite quiet by nature. Others can be very loud and very reactive to everything around them. Different things trigger our responses. But one thing I've no doubt of, we all need God's help in this area of controlling our tongue. I was speaking to somebody in the church earlier in the week and saying, you know, and I'm sure others who have ever spoken in church find the same, that as I was preparing, there were things happening in my life that were really testing this whole area of my life. And a situation flared up with people I interact with in my everyday life over the last 2 weeks. And it has been a real struggle to keep in check the responses and put this into practice, both verbally and by email. Even small everyday things, another little experience Bob and I had, we were waiting in the queue in the supermarket, impatient to get going, wondering why are they so understaffed, the person in front is taking so long, then they made a mistake and they had to take all the shopping out, then it had to all go back in again. By the time you get to the till, you're not really feeling like blessing the person in front of you. And this is the reality. Every day we have the choice and challenge where we can practice these things in the workplace or at school when others are gossiping or being negative about the boss or about teachers. Do we join in so that we're not excluded? When we're angry, do we speak rashly and recklessly? Do we just speak carelessly, lacking sensitivity to somebody's situation? Do we feel we have to comment on social media posts to either undermine people or flatter people or make ourselves look good? Do we speak badly of someone who's disappointed us or hurt us in the church? Do we lose it with our children when we're tired and they ask endless questions, or our teenagers when they start to challenge our boundaries, or granny, and I count myself in this category, who's not so up to date and is a bit slower in mastering the new technology? It can be sometimes the small niggly things in life as well as the big things that trigger our damaging speaking. But James is very, very clear. We cannot say we bless God and yet curse our brother who is made in God's image. Yet the tongue can also be a wonderful thing when used as God intended. Words can give praise and glory to God. Wesley wrote that wonderful song, Over a Thousand Tongues to Sing, My Great Redeemer's Praise. And there we sang a new song this morning as well that talked about that. With it, we can spread the good news of Jesus to others. We can build others up. We can be life-bringing, bring healing, speak peace, speak up for injustice to others and for those in need. The Bible gives many positive examples and guidance on the good use of the tongue, and we have a few of those now hopefully coming up. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. Let your speech be gracious and seasoned with salt. Be quick to listen. Got two ears, and slow to speak with only one mouth, and slow to anger. Open my mouth so I may declare the gospel fearlessly. Paul, when he was in chains, prayed not for escape from prison, but that he would speak boldly. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of the destitute. Speak only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, so that it is of benefit to those who listen. And there's lots and lots and lots in the Bible to be said about good use of the tongue. So the Bible is very clear. What good or bad can come from our tongue? The first question is, do we want to tame our tongue? It won't always make us popular or serve our own ends. However, we can live a better way, God's way as individuals and as a church family, to strengthen each other and reflect Jesus more, because every time we open our mouth and all we say and do, we are his ambassadors. If this is the case, then how do we tame our tongue? Firstly, we acknowledge we cannot do it in our own strength. If you resolve now, right, I'm going to do this better, I can guarantee before the day is out, you'll have said something or done something and thought, that's it, I've blown it. But we cannot do it in our own strength. But we also recognize that we do have choices to make. We can choose whether we open or close our mouths. We can translate that to today with the computer or the device that has become our mouth and means of communication. We can choose to keep our hearts and minds on him. I read a lovely thing, and it spoke to me that, you know, ours is the choice, but his is the work. He knows our weakness, and he strengthens us by his Spirit. And sometimes it's actually wisest not to say anything at all. I was very struck. My granny used to tell a story into her 80s, and she died at 99. She was one of eight children. She lived in Points Pass, and she said to me, on several occasions, and it obviously stuck in her mind as a child, where one of her brothers and sisters came running into the kitchen to tell her a bit of juicy gossip of something that had happened, something that was shocking in its day. And my grandmother took her children. She said, my mother took us as children. She stood us all up in a line, and she said, if you have nothing good to say about somebody, say nothing at all. And that so made an impact in her life. She remembered that all her life. And I never, in all the years I knew her, and I spent a lot of time with her, ever heard her speak badly of anybody. What an inspiration that was. But James is a very practical book. Practically making a choice is training ourselves in those simple things. Pause before we speak. Pause before we send that text or email or Twitter. Walk away when we're angry until we've calmed down and have had time to consider what we need and if we need to say anything. So we can practice these things to make changes, and that is good, because it will protect us and it will protect others. However, God wants to do an even deeper work in us. So I was thinking, just when I was looking out of the window, I have a lovely hydrangea bush in the corner of the garden, and there's a bramble that grows up through it, a very vigorous bramble with thorns. And when I garden, it's very sore, it scratches the life out of you. And every year, I cut back the branches right down to the bottom of the soil. But every year, it grows back up again, and it seems to be even stronger. Why? Because there's something deeper hidden in the soil that needs dealt with. It's the root that's there. The root is still there. I think, yeah. Words reveal the deeper hidden condition of our heart. In Luke it says, there is no good tree that produces two types of fruit. The good man out of his heart brings forth what is good. The evil man brings evil. For his mouth speaks that from which fills his heart. If our hearts are filled with a lack of love and a lack of humility, it will come out in the words we speak to each other. We need to put a guard over our heart. Are we aware of our need for help in this area of life and the dangers of not taking it seriously? Can we ask God and one another for forgiveness for unloving words and attitudes that we have given or have received from others? Can we practice speaking words that build each other up and speak God's word to each other? Can we intentionally teach our children and grandchildren and young people not just as parents, but as a whole church community in how we speak to and about others. The more we are filled with the knowledge and understanding of his grace and mercy and love for us, we will have mercy and love to others in how we speak. And why would we not want to do this? We do this because we have experienced God's love and mercy, not in our merit and efforts, but entirely by his grace. As it says in Colossians, he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. He has given us redemption and forgiveness of sins. I'm going to pause for a moment of silence just to give us all a chance to pray personally in response, and then I'm going to pray for us all. And there's a few verses coming up that might be helpful in directing our thoughts and prayers. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that for each of us individually, and that as a church here, as part of the body of Christ at King's, that the words of our mouths and that the meditations of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. I pray that you'd set a guard over our mouths and keep a watch over the door of our lips. I pray that we would be filled with all spiritual wisdom and understanding, that we would live a life that is worthy of the Lord and would please him in every way. Amen. And I pray God will bless his words to us all. Thank you.